This is VO News. I'm Laurel Bowman. Millions of Muslims around the world are observing Eid, marking the end of the fasting month of Ramadan. The AP's Charles de Ledesma reports on Eid in Gaza.
Displaced by the war, thousands of Palestinians who live in tents in Mawasi, Gaza, have gathered in the rain to mark Eid. A large group pray while smoke seen rising in the direction of Khan Yunis. For many Palestinians, celebrating despite the hardships is a show of solidarity. Riyad Qudair, a displaced person in the camp, says, "We will overcome the sorrows and live the atmosphere and celebrate each other and greet each other in this happy atmosphere. We will have a blessed Eid for the Islamic nation." About 80% of Gaza Strip's population has been displaced by the war, most of them living in the southern part of the enclave, including Mawasi. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
AP correspondent Jennifer King reports now on developments in the classified documents case of former U.S. President and Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump.
In the classified documents case against former President Donald Trump, U.S. District Judge Aileen Cannon granted a request Tuesday by special counsel Jack Smith's team aimed at protecting the identities of potential government witnesses to protect them from harassment. Trump defense lawyers had filed a motion and were seeking permission to make public mostly unredacted attachments, documents they obtained from prosecutors they said would bolster their claim that the Biden administration had sought to weaponize the government in charging Trump. Judge Cannon agreed with prosecutors to redact the names, but rejected a request to categorically block witness statements from being disclosed in pretrial motions, saying she could not find precedent. The disagreement was one of many that has slowed the pace of the case, which still does not have a firm trial date. I'm Jennifer King.
And U.S. President Joe Biden welcomes Japan's prime minister at the White House today. This is VOA News. South Korea's main opposition party and its allies were projected to win a majority in Wednesday's elections for the country's legislature, exit polls showed, and what would mark a significant blow to President Yoon Suk-yeol. Floods engulfed cities and towns across Russia and Kazakhstan on Wednesday after Europe's third longest river burst its banks, forcing over 110,000 people to evacuate and swamping parts of the Russian city of Urenberg. AP correspondent Julie Walker has more on that near-total ban on abortion set to take effect in the U.S. state of Arizona.
Arizona's Supreme Court says that near-total ban on abortions won't begin for at least 2 weeks. Some clinics say they'll continue to provide abortions up to 15 weeks into pregnancy for a short period of time. Governor Katie Hobbs, a Democrat, on that ruling that came down Tuesday.
The near-total Civil War-era ban that continues to hang over our heads only serves to create more chaos for women and doctors in our state.
The law provides no exceptions for rape or incest, allows abortions only if the mother's life is in jeopardy, and orders prosecution for anyone helping a pregnant woman with an illegal abortion. I'm Julie Walker.
Officials in Greece say the government is planning to unveil new measures next month to boost lagging birth rates. The country's fertility rate is one of the lowest in Europe, fueled by its debt crisis, austerity, and shifting attitudes. Still, even those behind the fresh plans doubt they can reverse the trend. Reuters' Christy Kilburn has more.
Nicholas Giannakidis is the only 13-year-old in his village in northeastern Greece. His father, Christos, often drives him about 30 miles from Armenio to play soccer with the few other children scattered across the region. The village used to be full of kids. Now, its president, Stratos Vasiliadis, says two-thirds of the 300 residents are over 70.
We are at a turning point. The next few years are our last chance for something to change.
Much of Europe is struggling with tumbling birth rates that experts say will threaten long-term economic well-being.
That was Reuters' Christy Kilburn reporting. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency on Wednesday announced its first ever drinking water standard to protect people against toxic chemicals found in many household and everyday items. I'm Laurel Bowman for VOA News.